The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted that you are here for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Number 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyersshow.com. Read as many as I can. Well, I read them all, but try to answer, I should say, as many as I can. But, you know, one guy doing my best here. Telling stories, having a good time here with you and your calls on local talk radio. It's kind of nice to have local talk radio in a world in which everything seems to be nationalized and there are chains, talk radio chains, you know, that kind of thing. Here, we do it our way, all right? And appreciate you being here one way or the other. And also streamed on KMED.com, whether you're catching me on podcast a little bit later on due to your scheduling, whatever the case might be. And let's see, am I missing anything else? Oh, yeah, 99.3 KBXG in Grants Pass, 106.3 KMED and KMED HD1 in Jackson County, 106.7 in South Jackson County. And speaking of South Jackson County, Senator Jeff Golden, I've been communicating with him, and we've had a lot of conversation about the wildfire maps and where we're going to move forward on that. People are bent out of shape, and rightly so, because it does appear to be the biggest property rights takeover that I've seen since Senate Bill 100 in the early 1970s. It almost seems like the culmination. And I appreciate that Senator Golden is willing to come on the program. He finally settled on this. It's going to be tomorrow morning at 7:30. Now, the senator is also going to have a couple of people with him on the call, and I think this is about, you know, trying to get as good of information out to people as we can. And so hopefully this will not be too confusing. I'm going to do my best to study because I'm not an attorney. I'm just a regular guy. I have friends that have been looking into this law, Mr. X, among many others. And it would appear to us, well, it's appearing to us, though, that Senate Bill 762 is really not following the law, you know, existing law on how the state is supposed to be interacting with property owners. And Bob Hart mentioned a bit of that yesterday. And if you missed the interview with Bob Hart, land use consultant from Rogue River, retired, go ahead and check out the podcast from the 8 o'clock hour on BillMyersShow.com. You can also find that on KMED.com. Okay, doing our best to try to pick our way through this because this is a big deal. In fact, it really feels like the worst part of it are the future landmines that have been planted for people who own property in the rural areas. And I also had a listener, I finally got a scan of what these letters look like because I live in moderate area. So being in a moderate area, I didn't get the letter from the state. So I have not even seen them yet until this morning. So it's very helpful. Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And we're going to do our best to, I still don't think there's any way of getting around the fact that Senate Bill 762 and even the fixes after it are an abomination. You know, you're trying to, well, first of all, how is Senate Bill 762 going to put out any fire? How is Senate Bill 762 going to protect ourselves from the danger of federal lands that tend to be burning and then touch off our fires? And, I mean, is the purpose to depopulate the rural areas? Because it would appear that that is the end result. And we'll be talking about this. I'm glad that Senator Golden has agreed to come on. He and I don't really agree on much when it comes to our political point of view. And something which has caused this much drama, turmoil, and danger coming from our Southern Oregon legislators, and I'm speaking specifically of Senator Golden and State Representative Pam Marsh, because they both sponsored this on both sides of the legislature. There were a couple of dim bulb Republicans that voted for this. Most did not because they understood the danger. But none of this, from what we can tell, you know, when you're at this point where you can cut down every tree on your property, you could get rid of all the grass, all the brush on your property, and you're still considered at a high risk for wildfire, there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong there. And when you can't get to the actual mathematics that calculates why you are a high wildfire risk, that's not right either. And it's really against the law. And we have this whole situation where the state university system was tasked with doing this, and as if the state university system, for some reason, as part of its business, is supposed to know about wildfire prevention, having never gone out and fought a wildfire in its entire existence. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, all sorts of things. So anyway, that'll be coming up tomorrow morning. 7:30 is when we're hoping to do this, and going to do my best. Like I said, I'm not an attorney, but, you know, you shouldn't have to be an attorney to understand what they're trying to do. So hopefully we'll get it all figured out together, okay? By the way, Senator Golden is having a town hall tonight, and that's going to be 5:15. 5:15 till 6:30 at the Medford Library. I think it's the Adams Room. But anyway, just go there where all the people are, and you'll find Jeff. And I think he's going to be mostly talking about what is happening in the future, in the future legislation in this current session, which really gets up, gets rolling really on Monday. Or no, Tuesday. It's going to be Tuesday after Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is actually the Trump Inauguration Day. Let me tell you, there are people in Washington, D.C. that are upset about that. How dare you get inaugurated on Martin Luther? Anyway, so we'll hopefully have a good conversation. Maybe we'll understand more. And maybe there's not as much to worry about as I think. But, you know, worrying about what the state of Oregon is doing to property rights, you can never be too careful. You can never be too careful in jealously guarding property rights, because everything since Senate Bill 100 in the early 1970s has been about attacking them. 17 minutes after 6, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Let me grab line 1. Hi, good morning. And who might you be?
Hey, Martin Bell, it's Cliff.
Hey, Cliff, good to have you on. What are you thinking?
Well, I want to read a little bit here for you, because I received those letters, and I'm not going to be able to appeal because of the location of my property. But
why is that? Why? Because even Bob Harvey is saying just appeal anyway. You know, it's almost like he's thinking just protest and overwhelm the system, Cloward pivoted, you know?
I don't think that's going to work, in my opinion. I've got a special use permit on a Forest Service lot in the National Forest, and I'm covered around by National Forest, and, you know.
Which is like saying, in essence, you are threatened by the National Forest, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are. But let me get to my point here.
Okay, sorry.
Let me read something here for you. It says, the hazard zone designations are based on recent data of the 4 criteria on which the map must be based. Weather, climate, topography, and vegetation type. And that's what Bob talked about yesterday.
Right.
It is not representative of fire prevention measures you may have already implemented on your property.
See, that's the example of what Bob's talking about, which doesn't matter what you do. You know, you could pour concrete over everything, you're still going to burn, in their mind.
Right.
Right?
And then it continues on. If you already have a defensible space around your home or belong to a FireWise community, the map may not require you to do anything further. However, these actions won't change your hazard zone determination. The conditions used to create the map may change over time. The wildfire hazard map will be updated every 3 to 5 years to stay as current as possible. Mm-hmm. So when you go back to those 4 criteria that the hazard map is based on, it is sprinkled through the notice of proposed action, final order, that everybody received, the certified letter from the Department of Forestry. And it doesn't matter, like Bob and you just stated here, it doesn't matter how much remediation you have performed on your property. If you're in that high hazard area, you have to focus on weather, climate, topography, and vegetation type. And that is what your appeal will be based on, not what you've done on your property.
Okay, what if you have no vegetation?
You got to get out of it. There's also a discovery process that's in this legal document that everybody has received, and you should, and I don't know if you're going to be able to, but you should be able to ask for discovery of what's in that black box for the modeling that they have done on this high hazard zone assignment.
In other words, the computer models, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So, in my opinion, you know, I'm not an attorney. You know, this isn't legal advice or anything like that. But if someone's going to appeal this, you're going to need legal assistance. You can't be an amateur and go up against
Well, perhaps you can, though, because of the illegality of the process. You know, if you can't appeal, you know, your particular situation, you can call out the fact that what has been done here is an illegal constructed fraud.
And you have to have evidence based upon that. And if you don't have knowledge on that, you're going to fail.
Well, maybe we can help out with that and other people. Mr. X has been working on this. And, of course, you know what an amazing legal researcher he is, that there are amazing ORSs in effect right now in the state of Oregon that require that everything that the state is doing when it comes to you and your relationship with property rights, I'm kind of paraphrasing here right now, everything has to be transparent. And on the face of it, the Senate Bill 762 fire map is totally opaque to people, not being able to know the, you know, the mathematics, to be able to check the work, everything that has been involved in putting you into this part of the map or that rating, right?
Well, I agree with that contention, but if you have one of these certified letters, it is incumbent upon you to invoke your rights under discovery and to try to ferret out that information of that black box modeling mm-hmm. that they've come out with this map on.
Yeah. Okay. Cliff, I appreciate that. And yep, these are the things that we're going to be battling here over the next, 50-something days, because you have until, what is the deadline here? March?
60 days from the 7th of January.
Yeah, so March 7th or so, roughly speaking, in that in the neighborhood. Appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. Yeah, this is a big deal. This is a huge deal. Huge deal. Lots of, like I said, it's not affecting me directly because I'm in a moderate, so I didn't get this letter. But you know, everybody else that seems to be anywhere in any kind of rural land, you've got it. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. It's Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Well, you know what? With their maps, is Phoenix and Talent in the high hazard area? I mean, I almost guarantee more houses have burned to wildfire in the urban areas rather than the rural areas, if you look at the map. Why aren't those in the high hazard area?
I don't know if it's I haven't looked at the fire map to see if the city of Phoenix and Talent are in the higher, but it looks like every urban area has been calculated to not be, to be mild
or
moderate.
You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Is that hundreds of houses burned in there, and over the years, how many houses have burned to a wildfire out in the county or somewhere like that? So it almost looks like Lahaina, you have Southern California, you have Phoenix Talent. Those have burned thousands of houses. Why wouldn't those be in the high hazard area?
That's a very good question. And yeah, I might just have to ask the group tomorrow about that. You know, because Senator Golden's going to be coming on, and he's going to have a couple of people with the agencies involved here. So,
and then also, how many people have died between urban and rural? I would say a lot more died in the cities due to wildfire than in the counties.
Yeah, interesting. All right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for that, Terry. Good thought process there. Interesting. Hi, good morning. This is Bill.
This is Ed, Bill.
Ed, I appreciate you calling back. All right, thank you.
Well, I'm listening to everybody saying, responses to this. And what I tried to do was get into the fine print, let's say, of 762. And it takes you to the controls statutorily that are based, that are set that up. And one of them is ORS 477.490. Now, I want everybody to remember that the statutes are supposed to guide the administrative rules that you're going to appeal on. But if you can post that link so people can read this, 477.490.
.490. Okay, I'm writing this down right now, Ed. Okay, all right.
Yes. Statewide map of wildfire risk, okay? Now, this is the literally the statutes that govern the creation of this map. And specifically, I want to take you, for the sake of time, right now to item number 7 under, and it says the map must, and I'm going to go to 7B so everybody understands how this can be fought at a hearing. And at 7B says, the map must be sufficiently detailed to allow the assessment of wildfire risk at the property ownership level.
So this has to be very granular, very detailed information available to you, right?
If you...
No, am I right about that, though? I just want to be clear. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I think you are, yeah.
Okay.
And it gives you the ability to go to a hearing and say, your mapping is flawed. I have done this, 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 and this. And they must alter that map at that point according to the law. Now, at the bottom of the page, it says, note, 477.490 to 477.504, okay? Now, 477.504, it was interesting. It says, no effect on management of private land, okay? Mm-hmm. So you go to 477.504, and you read that, reduction of wildfire risk. And this is ORS 477.503, reduction of wildfire risk, does not expand, diminish, or otherwise affect a right, privilege, duty, or function established under federal, state, or local laws or rules that pertain to the management of private lands in this state. Well, what is that? They're supposed to, you know, do this where not expanding or diminish or affect a right, a privilege, duty, or function.
Then I guess the question would be, why are they doing this? Why are they doing the map
well,
then?
Well, that's the thing. So in a hearing, you have to understand, if you're going to this hearing, okay, I would hire legal counsel, but make sure your legal counsel is educated to these particular things. Because if you have taken certain steps, you have a right to argue this. And if you argue it within the law, that's what you have to do.
Ed, thank you.
Remember,
and when did you send me that correction here? Because you had sent me some information yesterday. Did you send it this morning or not?
I'll send it again right now, Bill. And what I did, this came from a link within another state document. Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is send you directly that link right now. And it's just literally ORS 504. Or no, 477.490.
Okay, all right. Please send me in detail, because what you sent yesterday didn't take me to where I thought I was going to go. So I just want to make it easy for people. I know it's going to take a little bit of reading for folks to understand this. But as you have said before, right, there is peace within the law. And the chaos which Senate Bill 762 appears to be trying to foist upon the lands is not supposed to be, really, when you look at some of the other ORSs that seem to have been getting ignored. So it at least would give you the opportunity to argue this, okay? Would that be a good way to wrap this?
And that's the truth, Bill. And these are the things that what we have to understand is that it may take an effort, but we can go after these people to do their jobs. And I don't agree that the university should have been used in this at all. And that's, I believe, where whoever wrote this law, whoever put it in, they made an assumption that they could gain power by using the academics at the university to,
academics area of expertise here. None of them have fought fires. None of them understand what's really going on there. You know,
I'm talking philosophically. It's a communist intrusion.
Well, yeah. We get it. That's always the goal. You know, the revolution is the point, right? You know, that is the
right.
Yeah. All right, Ed. Thanks for the call, and I look forward to seeing the link. And I will share that a little bit later. It may take me a little bit later on in the morning after the show. We'll see. Okay, 6:30 at KMED. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Hi, this is Cassie from Clouser Drilling. Drill Baby Drill is a statement that might conjure images of gushing oil, and almost everyone could agree we could use more of that. But at Clouser Drilling, we think of the liquid essential for life, flowing water. So while we can't help with the cost of fuel, we can help you source water for your family, garden, and livestock for years to come. For a new well or underperforming wells, call Clouser Drilling for a no-obligation assessment and estimate. And drill, baby, drill. Find out more at clouserdrilling.com.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now. And what I got going on this month is discounts and leasing. Right now, I've got a 2024 Escape that Ford's offering a $4,000 customer cash rebate, and I'm discounting it $2,700 for a total savings off the original MSRP of almost $7,000. Leasing is awesome right now on both my Broncos, my F-150s. For example, I can work a lease deal on a 2024 Bronco to get your payment down to only $273 a month. A new Bronco for $273 a month? Only at Butler Ford. If you're looking for a good used vehicle, I got those too. Ford Blue Certified Vehicles. Any make, any model. Buy with a factory-backed Confidence of Ford warranty. Whether it's a Toyota, a Chevy, or a Ram, come see us today at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Just 12 minutes down the freeway in Ashland off of Exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your EV, and of course your savings.
36-month lease with $5,000 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number TR59710. And selling price of $31,500 after all rebates and discounts. Escape stock number TR59789. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
By the way, we're going to have a good half hour of open phones coming up at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. I do have a guest coming up here in a few minutes, but we will definitely get more of your calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We can talk more of your questions or comments on the fire mapping issue, because it's blowing up, as the media would like to say. Boy, it's just blowing up, right? Yeah, because the letters going out there that people have been getting the last few days has really brought it home. And Senate Bill 762, of course, was held back, what, two, three, four times, and every time it seems to come back, and it's still deeply flawed at the core. Michael Shaw's here. Hey, Michael, I'll give you a quick bite before news time. How you doing?
Real quick, looking at the Oregon map that we're talking about, it appears that 90% of the low-risk area is Eugene, Corvallis, Salem, and Portland. That strip right there. There's a couple of other green spots, you know, that are low-risk. But any of the low-risk spots are major population areas, you know, Medford and Ashland. Talent and Phoenix are moderate risk.
Okay, they're moderate. Where I am out by Foothill is considered of moderate risk. How is Grants Pass rated?
Yeah,
do you know?
About inner city is considered low risk.
Yeah.
But fires in L.A. prove that that is absolutely not correct if they're talking about fire damage potential.
Yeah. Well, yeah, firestorms. Firestorms don't care if you have a if you have a densely populated city area. That's not going to help at all.
I mean, you're going to have more loss. You're going to have not only loss of property, but potential loss of life in a city area versus a wildlife area.
Ultimately, my suspicion, though, is that Senate Bill 762, I think the real intent, and I may be wrong about this, I don't claim to be an expert on it because I'm just like you, everybody else, we read it, we see what's happening. I think it's really about finding a way to assess and tax the daylights for firefighting protection out of the wildland areas. I can't help but think that that's what this is really about.
Yeah, look at the green area from, you know, Eugene, Corvallis, Salem, and Portland. Look where the universities are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, I don't know. Maybe Southern Oregon University is getting pretty close to the edge of town. It might be close to a moderate area. Hard to say.
Well, that's considered a low area because you got a school down there. It's a ridiculously stupid map. It really is.
All right. Well, it was made by the school. So there you go.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Michael. Like I said, we'll have some more open phones 7 o'clock or so, maybe even a little bit later on this hour. Okay, so we'll check what else is going on with some of our news. And we're going to shift into a conspiracy theory topic I've wanted to get to, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And people don't talk enough about this, but I think it's important. The censorship of conservative or alternative viewpoint books in the online booksellers. And is it necessary to do something about that? I'm going to talk with Clayton Butcher. He's the president of Cross Current Digital. Kind of knows his stuff on this. And I think it's an interesting situation on what's getting censored, what's getting yanked out of the Amazons of the world. Okay.
Hi, this is Glory from Eagle Point. My dad asked me to get a quote for my own auto insurance and suggested I call Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Steve said,
visit washbuggyautospa.com.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
Clayton Butcher joins me. He's the president of Cross Current Digital. We wanted to dig into a part of the free speech arguments here. And, of course, everything about talk radio here, we try to be as open-minded and into as much free speech as possible, because without the speech, you know, nothing happens. I mean, look at this conversation we've been having about the wildfire maps and everything else. But what happens if somebody prints a book and nobody's able to get it or get to it? It's an interesting thing which is happening, and this is why I've been concerned about the rise of the online book world. And even though I read tons of books, and a lot of them are digital books that I have, and I start wondering after a while, what do I really own? Well, Clayton Butcher, like I mentioned, Cross Current Digital. Clayton, it's a pleasure having you on. Morning.
Well, it's good to be here.
All right. Tell me about your experience in the online publishing world and the rise of censorship. And it's, I imagine it's probably more than just Amazon, or maybe it is just Amazon. Why don't you let me know?
Sure. So the biggest issue is Amazon, because Amazon is the largest retailer of pretty much everything. But even in the book world, I've seen numbers between 63% and 83% of all book sales in the U.S. go through Amazon. And so when they decide to not carry something, it's a big deal. Because like you said, as we were talking off the air, most people, that's where they buy their books, even Christians and conservatives, which is really concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if Amazon will not carry it or will not permit it, or I've also heard rumors that some books have been requested that they be edited before they are accepted. And the thought that the Jeff Bezos types are the ones that are going to be in control of the thought process moving forward. A little bit of a concern. I'm not a big fan of tech bros telling me what I'm allowed to see. What about you?
Yep. I definitely am concerned as well. It's just problematic, like you said, when just a handful of people get to decide what gets printed, what gets published. And it's when it's somebody as big as Amazon or an entity that large, if a publisher knows that they're not going to be able to sell to more than 30%, you know, if you're assuming a 70% goes through Amazon, that book then doesn't get published. Editors won't accept books that are proposed. Agents won't represent books that are proposed. And then it goes all the way down. Why would somebody spend a year, however long it takes to write a good book on a solidly biblical book, or at least with a biblical worldview, which is what conservative values come from.
Now, by the way, you're a former pastor, right?
Take it.
Now, you're a former pastor, right, Clayton? Or did you? What did you do in the past?
Worship leader, music pastor.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
not officially ordained. I do have to.
Well, that's okay.
But yes, 15 years in serving local church.
That's all right. I don't think the Lord is concerned if you're officially ordained or not. But still, you're in the club. Okay. That's all. I was just checking with you. Okay. let's just let's just cut to the chase here. Is most of the censorship on the religious side of things, or elsewhere? Where do we find most of the challenges? In fact, you've talked about, I guess, what was Mandy Bells's book that was censored? Was that one of your copies or one of your titles? Tell me about that.
Yep. So that one, that book was, it's called, of course, I forget the.
Oh, no, I have it in front of me here. I have it in my notes here.
200 books, yeah.
Yeah, it's They Say We Are Infidels is the name of Mindy Bells's book. And I've not read this. I've not heard of this until now. Of course, there may be a reason why I haven't heard of it, and that's because it's been, it was kicked off the Amazon platform, right?
This one actually was a different entity, not Amazon.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
Yeah. And so it was SoundCloud, which is a online music. They have widgets that you can put different places. So it's really common for voice actors.
Yeah, music and podcasts.
And books,
yeah, music, podcasts, yeah. Sure. Okay, yeah, talk radio hosts use SoundCloud too. So she was kicked off for that. Why?
Well,
Tell us why.
That book was removed, yes. They say that it was flagged as hate speech, which is interesting, when it's literally recounting Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East by ISIS. But it was removed for hate speech.
What happens to someone like Mindy Bells then? You know, when you have something like this, which is actually telling factual information, which is uncomfortable for the tech bros.
That's a good question. So in this case, it was not removed from sale. It was just removed. We use that for SoundCloud in the past. We may be moving to something else, but use that for sharing the samples of books on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a player there.
Was this an audiobook that was taken off SoundCloud? Yes. Is that what that was?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Now
yes,
I understand this a little more, more clearly, Clayton. Okay. So, are we at the point now where we're just going to, you know, need to have to, conservative or Christian online platforms for digital books? Are you just going to have to leave the tech bros domain somehow and build? I've been talking for years here about building parallel societies in some cases. I mean, President Trump is coming in here, but President Trump's not going to fix everything. You know, he's not going to fix, you know, this probably, especially with the tech bros giving him millions of dollars right now. Who knows? But I digress. What do you think? Where do we go on this?
Yeah, that's something that I actually give a little bit of a presentation on at some of the homeschool conventions that we go to and exhibit at for Cross Current. On the parallel economy. And so I completely agree that it may not be necessary this moment, but as soon as Trump's not going to fix everything. We understand that. But depending on what happens in the following administration, or if the election had gone the other way, that would have been really concerning because mm-hmm. There's banks that have deplatformed. There's Shopify, PayPal. All of these have deplatformed Christians and or conservatives and just completely removed them. You saw what happened with Parler, Amazon, AWS, and the app stores completely removed their content. Their entire business was gone overnight. And so it's certainly necessary now to begin to build and to strengthen what is building. We actually launched Cross Current about four years ago.
Was it in response to what you saw happening there? The rise of this?
Yeah, as an audiobook publisher first, we had three different audiobook publishing companies, small ones. Published about 200 books in total, but one of those was When Harry Became Sally by Ryan T. Anderson.
I remember that.
Amazon. So that's our book, not through Cross Current, but through Black Hills Audiobooks. And that was why we believe God gave us this calling, if you will, It certainly was not my idea, but that's how it initiated, was censorship from Amazon.
I'm speaking once again.
If we don't build it.
Yeah, if you don't build it, I think what you do is that you look at President Trump here, and believe me, I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm not that. But a trend in motion tends to stay in motion for a long time before there's a pullback. And I know that President Trump's election has been a reaction to the leftist and the woke revolution, which has been taking over schools, academia, corporate world, and things like that. Now, there have been some victories, and I'm glad to see this. But still, the trend is for more repression. Would you agree with me on that first off here, Clayton?
Yes, I would. I do believe that we currently have a bit of a reprieve. I think that's why you see like Facebook and Walmart walking back DEI and
well, yeah, they're trying to buddy up to the new boss at the moment. You know,
exactly.
At the moment. Okay.
Yes.
But you see, they would do that no matter who was president, though. Honestly, I think they're looking at the bottom line. My concern, though, is that conservatives and Christians will go to sleep over the next 3-4 years because they're thinking, oh, well, Trump's here. Trump's going to fix everything. And, well, you know, Trump is a process. And what we're fighting right now is deeply embedded in our culture right now. And we don't probably want to admit that, right? We just don't want to think about it, that it's that deep and dark right now.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
So we should be using the time then while Trump is president. And hopefully maybe people that are similar to him will continue on. I mean, hey, we can always hope, right? A fella can dream and pray, right? But
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but
make
still,
sure
you should be preparing right now and getting these robust platforms ready right now at this time, right? That's kind of where
exactly.
where you're going and warning people about this, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. CrossCurrent Digital, what is your website then? Where can people go to find you?
CrossCurrentDigital.com.
Mm-hmm.
CrossCurrentDigital.com. As you mentioned, we have over 10,000 books, and we make sure that it's safe for families and that nothing goes against biblical values, because there's no other platform out there that is Christian and or conservative owned. So we, as of this moment, we're the only platform where you can buy digital books that is owned by Christians. Even Christian Book is no longer owned by Christians.
Really?
Yep. That's
What's it owned by? Larry Fink over BlackRock or something like that? Who owns it? I'm just curious. You know, it's like Larry Fink is trying to buy everything else. I thought maybe he'd buy the Christian online portals too. Who knows, right?
Yeah, I don't know I don't remember exactly, but it was sold a couple of years ago after we started. And Christian Audio, again, that was sold maybe 12, 15 years ago now, is not Christian owned. So we are the only current existing platform that is owned and caters to and serves the church.
So you've had to face with, like you said, you've talked about facing censorship right in, you've been right in the teeth of the maw of this, okay? What about the whole challenge of the digital book in general? Do you ever think about that? Because there's a part of me, as much as I enjoy the convenience of my digital books, I get a little concerned that whatever is digital can A, be single point of failure controlled by, you know, whoever's controlling the internet. And even if you buy digital books, every digital book platform usually requires some communication to the net and or various servers in order to be able to view and keep up with your so-called, I'm putting your in scary air quotes, your content. And sure. Are we kind of being foolish to go down the digital book world? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think it's a valid point, but especially with other platforms that certainly do not hold biblical values and promote values that go against what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly understand that. But and then you have the issue with publishers and authors that have the copyrights.
I mean, I know printing on paper is expensive. It's more expensive. The digital thing is cheap. Mm-hmm. Boy, you can get paid more easily. But, you know, when you have the paper, no one's going to edit your paper. Do you ever get concerned that we're going to get to the point where the government and or other corporate forces will get to the point where they just say, hey, you have to edit this book, or else we're going to edit this book for you, and we're going to change the language, because the language that was used in, well, we've already seen this happening already with Tom Sawyer, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Remember, people were talking about the editions of it coming out that took out words that are considered unsavory for today's consumption. You know, that kind of thing.
Also happened with Goosebumps series. Mm-hmm. That's happened with Dr. Seuss. So, yes, that is certainly a concern.
And think about that with history books. Think about this with a government-edited version of the Bible, you know, at some point, if you go to that point. I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole on this one, couldn't you, Clayton?
You certainly can, yes. So we're trying to be, hopefully, at least part of that solution. And that's why we're a purchase platform and not just rental. We want books that people purchase for them to be able to continue to access them. And not just, I'm going to rent this now, and then not, if the rights revert, we can no longer sell that. But if somebody has purchased it, and then the rights revert to the author, to the publisher, then that content cannot be changed.
All right. So overall, you're working to help the situation. I appreciate that. And anybody who is a warrior for free speech and trying to keep good information in the hands of the people, I'm happy to mention here. CrossCurrent Digital, I'll put your information up there. And if anything else goes on there, and if you get to the point where, are you on Amazon Web Services? Just curious. Yeah, just about everybody is, it seems.
Just about everybody is. We've been bootstrapping this whole thing, my wife and I.
Yeah.
It's really hard to take on Amazon by yourselves. When we started this, again, almost 4 years ago, we had no other options to get out.
Because all you have to do is see what happened with Parler once again. Amazon Web Services, they yank you. Boom, you're done. It's like you're a website without a host. Nobody can hear you or see you or anything else. And this is it's dangerous territory, these single points, these choke points that have been set up in the tech bro world. So, yeah, if there's a way that you can own your own servers and your own connections, that would probably be a good thing for you long term.
Yep, absolutely. That is certainly the plan.
All right, Clayton.
Wherever we have been able to, credit card processing is another one.
Oh, yeah. Boy, we could talk another hour on that. But
sure. Yeah. Okay. So we've insulated whatever we're able to.
All right.
From big tech.
Thank you very much for the details. It's a really important story that people need to keep an eye on. Clayton Butcher, president of CrossCurrent Digital. We'll have you back. You be well. Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
6:58. This is KMED 99.3 KBXG.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley with American Rentier Garage, wishing you a happy new year. Start 2025 right with saving 25 for 25. That's right, save 25% on all lube oil filter services and BG branded services, like engine cooling system, power steering system, and transmission services throughout January. Let's get your vehicle ready for the new year. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule your appointment today. Some restrictions apply. American Rentier Garage, we are united through service.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'm always going to tell you what I think the best deals are right now. And what I got going on this month is discounts and leasing. Right now, I've got a 2024 Escape that Ford's offering a $4,000 customer cash rebate, and I'm discounting it $2,700 for a total savings off the original MSRP of almost $7,000. Leasing is awesome right now on both my Broncos, my F-150s,
For example, I can work a lease deal on a 2024 Bronco to get your payment down to only $273 a month. A new Bronco for $273 a month? Only at Butler Ford. If you're looking for a good used vehicle, I got those too. Ford Blue Certified Vehicles. Any make, any model. Buy with a factory-backed Confidence of Ford warranty. Whether it's a Toyota, a Chevy, or a Ram, come see us today at Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 minutes down the freeway in Ashland off of Exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your EV, and of course your savings.
36-month lease with $5,000 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number TR59710, and selling price of $31,500 after all rebates and discounts. Escape stock number TR59789. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
7 o'clock, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass is where you are. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. You know, going back on the digital book issue here, like I said, I read lots of books. I'd like to be able to read more. Sometimes I wish I could do a little bit more of that and not get sucked into the computer screen all the time. But, you know, most of my books are digital, but I have a library, you know, in my office where I try to keep as many paper books that are going on. And I wish that there was a way maybe we can come to an understanding when it comes to the digital rights world that, okay, I have a digital copy of a book. That means that that should be hashed or somehow assigned to me that I keep it and I can open it no matter whether there's an internet or not. Also, I should be able to print one copy of it. One copy. I don't know how the tech could be, used to accomplish this, but I should be able to print one copy of the book for my own personal use. You know, that kind of thing. Because I've always been concerned that, some of the most important, most informational books here, no internet, no access to it, no ability to renew it. I know my son, even when it comes to the ownership of music, yeah, I've got CDs, a lot of CDs, things like that, but I've ripped most of that into digital copies, and so I've got those three old-school iPods, the old-school iPods that are not connected to the online world. You just put them on there, and there they are, and my son will say, Dad, why are you using that thing? It's old-school, things like that. Everyone's using Spotify. They get music on TikTok or, you know, whatever the case might be. I said, son, I have it. It's mine. You know, as long as I can keep the devices working, I've got it. You know, I don't have to worry about having my my SoundCloud or my Spotify account or having to pay Apple Music $13.99 a month or whatever they're charging now for unlimited music, right? You know, that kind of thing. The mulcting, the death of a thousand cuts in our budget with stuff that you used to just have in your hands. I don't know, maybe we can talk about that and various other things. But it is open phones right now. We'll certainly hit that. Hey, I had a great experience at a store yesterday. Wanted to share a little bit about that and maybe question JPR's approach to coincidences. We'll kick around that and so much more. Maybe you have a call on the fire map issue, too. Happy to take those coming up.